The problem is not the headache. The headache is a signal. The pain is a signal that your body is giving you because it wants you to pay attention somewhere, to find out something that's underlying because it needs your help. So pain, whether it's headache or any other form, is always a signal from the body to attract your attention. To let you know that you need to pay attention and do something about it
And slow down.
and slow down and listen to it intuitively. Hello everyone.
Hi everybody. How are y'all?
Welcome to another episode of Journey to Wellness and Beyond. And today we are going to talk about something that's considered to be very common in our society and something very normal.
Yeah, that's true.
But here's the thing, just because it's common and just because everyone thinks it's normal, well, that's a misconception. So today we're going to talk about pain, headaches, to be specific,
neuroinflammation.
Exactly. So we'll be covering in this episode, we'll be covering some of the common factors, underlying factors of headaches, which includes things like, you know, it can be hormonal, or it can be
sinus headaches or post concussion.
Exactly.
I think let's just start
with it. And it's going to be short and it's going to be quick. And just one thing, that headaches and migraines, it's like a scale, right? You have low grade headaches, which are infrequent, and then there are low grade headaches, which are frequent. And then the intensity of pain is always it depends. So there are like migraine headaches, which are extremely painful and excruciating pain, and then there is low grade headaches and everything in between. So today we are just going to generally touch upon all these things, but when we think about it, the factors of these are the whatever we are going to talk about today are the common factors. They apply to all of these things, right? So it's nothing like we are talking about one specific type of headache.
Yeah, and also, you know, headaches are such an old topic. Like even in during the Egyptians' time, like headaches was something even the gods had. It was sort of thought like that. And also on Eber's papyrus, headaches had been recorded, documented, where Usafai's king, he also used a combination of frankincense, cumin, ulan berry, and goose grease to apply on his temples. So it's been dated like long back.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's just get on, because I think headache is such a important topic to many of y'all suffering with it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Since God knows how many months, years. I think this can just give you a little sliver of hope, and it can propel you to further find the root causes after discovering today's podcast.
Basically, your own unique root causes, because there can be many at play. Also, one more thing before we proceed is that don't think of headaches. Of course, pain is bad. That's one thing. Of course, who likes pain? But here's the thing. The problem is not the headache. The headache is a signal. The pain is a signal that your body is giving you because it wants you to pay attention somewhere, to find out something that's underlying, because it needs your help. So pain, whether it's headache or any other form, is always a signal from the body to attract your attention, to let you know that you need to pay attention and do something about it.
And slow down.
and slow down and listen to it intuitively.
Yeah, so the first one actually is food sensitivity. Yeah. That's the first underlying cause. Because
just think about this, the gut-brain connection. And by now, I'm sure that this topic has become like a hot topic. Everyone talks about the vagus nerve and the gut-brain connection. So it should not strike you as astonishing in any way, because it's connected. The gut and the brain is connected. So whatever goes on in the gut, it's going to be felt in the brain.
And something as insidious as MSG, monosodium glutamate, or sucralose, artificial sweeteners, aspartame.
Yeah.
These things can actually increase the glutamate in your brain, and that can put your neurons on fire. And too much firing will actually give that, will have that inflammatory response.
And even speaking of glutamate, there are like two types of glutamate. So one is the bound one and one is the free one. And generally, because of external sources, when glutamate is consumed, it kind of tends to increase the free glutamate. That now, this is not what I have read somewhere, like I have been researching and read some studies. So this is what I came across. So I would like to share with you all guys. But so the body gets confused.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how true is that. But as per the research, the body gets confused between free and bound glutamate. And then that's where all the problem starts. And where do we get the free glutamate from? Monosodium glutamate, that's present in most of the foods in the supermarket.
Yeah, also yeast extracts, be it soy protein, soy
isolates. I was getting to that. And you will say, but I don't have MSG. But MSG has many names.
Yeah.
It's insidious. It's disguised under many names.
And also in natural flavors.
Natural flavors. Even soy protein isolate.
Yeah,
or,
that's true.
It has many, 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 many names. So to be safe, it's best that if you buy fresh ingredients, organic if possible, at least for the dirty dozen ones, and cook your food by yourself. And cooking is relatively easy. It doesn't have to be a long,
tedious process. Where you're just sitting in the kitchen for like 2-3 hours.
Exactly.
And then you end up eating this. An incident, a person told me that she hates cooking because she sits and cooks the food for like 2 hours, and then in 20 minutes she's done with the food, eating it. So that's why she is not motivated to make food. But I think that food can also be a meditation for many people.
Yeah. So it's up to you whether you take 20 minutes or 2 hours. That's completely your choice. But there's always a way. And there have been people who have just cleared their diet. There was a lot of clutter, a lot of pre-cooked foods that they used to buy from the supermarket and all. So they kind of tend to clean their diet, and it gave them a big, significant relief in their
headaches. Even I would say coffee, chocolate, rice, for some people that can also be a trigger, because then again these foods are also high in arginine.
Yeah.
And with that we come to the next point, which is viral headaches.
Oh, we also forgot to mention the histamine.
Oh yes.
So it can be either it can be the arginine at play or it can be the histamine at play.
Yeah.
And when we say histamine, if you see chocolates and many other foods, especially the preserved foods, like and even the packaged foods, they are generally high in histamine. And so what happens is, it's not necessary that the food itself, because they're high in histamine, are causing the problem. Maybe the because of other underlying issues like insufficient bile and high estrogen and liver being very sluggish, it's not able to process, break down histamine, and maybe histamine clearance is being affected. Histamine is not being cleared. Or DAO, that's diamine oxidase, that's the enzyme that breaks down histamine, which is found in the gut lining. Maybe that's not being produced because there's too much of inflammation and damage. So there can be a lot at play, but you get a head start.
Yeah. So, I mean, with viral headaches, these are the ones we can get from herpes family, like chickenpox or Epstein-Barr virus, aka mononucleosis. So that can also be one of the things. And what can aggravate that is these foods which are high in arginine.
it's kind of the food
to the yeah world. Again, so it's a food sensitivity, but it's also the virus that's into the play that has been dormant, and then now it's awake and activating everything in the body, creating a lot of havoc. And the next one, which you actually touched upon, is again DEO, and DEO suppressing histamine mast cells. So, but the liver comes into the picture. So here I would like to connect estrogen dominance as well.
That's true.
Because we have estrogen dominance, our liver function gets a bit slowed down, and it thickens the bile, and bile is what helps to excrete the toxins from the body.
The toxins and all the byproducts, bile needs to be there in order to transport it out of the body.
Exactly. So these hormonal headaches can also occur during ovulation, before, during, or even after menses. So then there is this hormonal headache connection with estrogen.
Right.
Then I think the next one is pretty simple that people can actually relate to, is sinus headaches, right? Because the sinus, it's accompanied with, this headache is actually accompanied with a lot of pain and pressure above and below the sinuses. And these headaches are actually caused by the sinus infection, mold, fungus,
infections, allergies. Are definitely at play big time when it comes to not just headaches, but also infections and many other symptoms. Because people do understand, even in things like, just a bit out of topic, but let's say even in dysbiosis. Yeah. So many people don't even think about, if there are parasites in the gut, and it just won't be in the gut, it can be at other places also, in other cavities. But any which ways, then it's very easy for the bacteria that's overgrown to live on it, on its body, the body of the parasite. So, and some people try really hard, like practitioners as well, to get rid of the dysbiosis and to correct it. But then it just doesn't work. Firstly, because it's the body can do it itself. And secondly, till the time you don't get rid of the parasite, it's not going to really happen.
Yeah. But then there are other causes as well.
Yeah.
Changes in the weather.
Yeah.
Right. Or nasal polyps, if someone is having that and doesn't know about it, or a deviated septum. So these
insufficient oxygen, basically.
Yeah. So these can cause sinus infection, which can then cause sinus headaches.
Yeah.
And what about the cluster headaches? I think this is a very interesting one to talk about, because it happens on one side of your head, and on one side of your eye as well. And these headaches are actually related to circadian rhythm.
And when we talk about the circadian rhythm, then we can also get to melatonin, because that's what also is a driving factor in the sleep-wake cycle. And basically, melatonin is a hormone that is associated with the sleep-wake cycle, as I just mentioned, very importantly. So what happens is that, especially when things like jet lag or night shift works and all these things, first of all, that's what disrupts melatonin. And there are other factors as well that can really disrupt the melatonin production. Even, for example, problems in the gut, because serotonin is required to create melatonin, right? And as well, many other things like blue light exposure can also block or affect the secretion of melatonin. And what happens is that melatonin is associated with headaches and other disorders. And for example, there was this study done by the Brain Research Institute in Brazil, wherein they found that people who suffered from migraines and even the cluster type headaches.
Yeah, these headaches are almost like it comes at the same time every day. And they're very, very painful, very intense, very throbbing and burning pain.
So yeah, in this study, it was found that in both these cases, there is low melatonin also present, decreased melatonin levels. Yeah.
So it does play a big, big part.
So it all has to do with melatonin when we talk about the sleep-wake cycle or the rhythm, the biorhythm.
So I think melatonin is also, that's why used in cancer. Because then again, you need your sleep, and sleep is the most healing medicine you can ever have.
Exactly. But there is so much of mixed research on melatonin, and like there is research that says that high amounts of melatonin can backfire, and there is again contraindicatory research that has been done and shown that high doses of melatonin is really beneficial, not trying to say that it's a solution to certain diseases, but certain said diseases and even in cases of headaches and stuff. So maybe you can take this up as a small project and also do some research yourself and also share what you think about it.
Yeah. So moving on to the next one, which is a hypertension headache. I mean, if you have a high blood pressure, that can also be one of the causes. And even exercise headaches, if you are exercising intense workouts,
mm-hmm.
and after that, you can have a headache.
That's true. So,
as simple as these could be. So you have to get your blood pressure down. You have to do more gentle exercises. And don't keep those high intense exercises for the night.
Yeah. Also because it again will hinder with this melatonin secretion. And don't think of triggers as being the causes. Okay. There is a difference. Triggers are triggers, but causes, there are underlying factors. And then sometimes certain things, as we in one of the previous episodes, we discussed about the basket of straws on the camel's back. So there's always this one straw that breaks down the camel. The same way, trigger is not the cause. So just getting rid of the trigger is not going to solve the problem. It's just going to keep probably the problem at bay. But you always have to go and look into what actually has been causing this. There are actually a few questions you can ask yourself. I did make a list over here and I kind of forgot about it. So how, questions like, how often does a headache occur? Does it have a pattern? Are there certain periods of the month? Because if that's the case, then it can be connected to the menstrual cycle, right? Or is it like, do you wake up with it? Because then that can be associated with things like dehydration, teeth clenching, grinding, TMJ. How long does it last, right? Because then maybe it can be connected with histamine or foods. Or when does it typically stop? And does it occur in a certain place in the house or in your office or somewhere? Because then that can be mold, maybe, right? Or like, does it happen on vacation? Do you have headaches on vacation? Because if it's the answer is no, that means it has to do with your work life or children or whatever it is. And do you have it all the year round, or is it specifically during certain seasons? Because that will tell you that that's possibly related to some seasonal allergy or sensitivity, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
So these are some deep questions to actually ponder upon and to come to your own conclusion. And I would say never stop seeking answers, because I think that's what would get you closer to your truth. Because one person's poison is another person's medicine. So it may not affect the other person, but that small trigger is affecting you a lot, and the root cause so much so.
Yeah.
And the last one is post-concussion headaches. And these are the ones where you have a head injury, and that can last up to 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
So then again, you have to work on healing that part of your brain. And that healing is very important, because we just get on with life. We just pop in some pills and that's it. We are done.
Exactly. But apart from this, there can also be heavy metal toxicity into play, right? And I would like to add another factor over here, a factor which is highly overlooked, maybe shooed away many a times. And that would be what's non-native electromagnetic fields, right? So our bodies first communicate bioelectrically, and then biochemically. And it's been well agreed upon that also there are the magnetic fields of the heart and the brain, and the heart-brain connection, they're connected via this magnetic field. It's also being recognized in today's time, not widely enough, but certainly by a large group of people and organizations. So like Dr. Becker, he was a researcher in electromagnetic emissions, and he noted that exposure to any abnormal electromagnetic field produces a stress response. And this artificially induced stress response is kind of linked to our immune system. It kind of shuts down our immune system or hinders it. And this is similar to a chemical exposure. Basically, that happening is also kind of the same. It'll have a same stress response what biochemical functions will have, like hormonal imbalances is kind of the things that we just spoke about. And at the end of the day, we are energy beings. If you look at the structure of atoms and molecules, it's just energy. We have spoken about it in the past. So what are the non-native electromagnetic fields? Things like cell towers, modern energy efficient appliances, and even light bulbs, those LED lights and stuff, designed for, you know, creating a smart grid or even smart meters, and everything is becoming smart, 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 smart car, smartphone, everything. But we have got to acknowledge and realize that everything being connected to each other, the phone with the car to this, to something else, and then the house being connected to your phone, the lights being connected to your phone, and everything being connected to each other, this Internet of Things, as they call it, it's creating this constant electromagnetic communication amongst each other, this thing that we just can't see, it's not visible to our eyes, right? And this thing that's created is called the electromagnetic smog or the electro smog, and this is non-native. And then this is also interfering with our own native electromagnetic fields. And also because all our organs also communicate electromagnetically, and this still has to be studied and researched upon, or maybe it is being done, but still there are a lot of scientific communities who are not acknowledging this. So what happens is that all this forced chronic exposure, it's more chronic, it's not like in the short term, the forced chronic exposure of wireless radiation to our body continuously 24/7, 365 days of all around the year, we don't have any escape of this. So this is tremendously causing and interfering with our biochemical functions. For example, in Italy, the Supreme Court affirmed a ruling granting workers compensation to a businessman that worker had developed a tumor after using a cell phone for 12 years. There was some sort of thing that also happened. And this is just an example. There are a lot of examples out there. If you search for it, probably using alternate search
engines.
And also, there is a study that I'll be posting in the show notes. It's a very interesting study. It's basically cell phone radiation that the exposure that which is associated with a broad range of brain protein changes, which can be explained by the association between the cell phone or the and its adverse health effects. So it's a very interesting study, and I'll post it in the show notes. And I think that's it for today.
Yeah, I think we covered everything pretty good.
Yeah, and okay, just to sum it up, so if we see the root causes, we just quickly run through them. It's first of all, chronic stress, sympathetic dominance, right? High or low cortisol, and there's systemic inflammation because of the nervous system, and the nervous system health also comes into play in this,
yeah.
Right? So there's like food sensitivities, infections, allergic exposure, enhanced intestinal permeability, which is again is connected to gut health. There's GABA glutamate imbalance, as also mentioned by Jui about glutamate, blood-brain barrier and all. And then there's always a redox imbalance, which is because of too much inflammation and we don't have enough antioxidant function in the body, right? Then low serotonin and histamine intolerance, and dental issues as well. Just we didn't really talk about it too much, but it's also the bite alignment that really matters a lot, bruxism or clenching of the jaw, Sometimes that also happens when the person is sleeping. And then small other factors like dehydration and not enough oxygen because the person is not breathing properly during sleep. So that's it for today.
Yeah.
Hope you found this useful. In the next episode, we'll be talking about some of the solutions that you can implement.
And also one more thing, if you are dealing with some chronic issues, y'all can always write to us and we can always have a chat about it. And if it's something that you really want to pursue and get rid of,
yeah,
we can help you with that. So you can find it in the
show notes. It's Juhi's website, theherbalcasa.com.
Yeah.
You'll find the website in the show notes. And until anything else you want to say?
No, that's it.
Until then, I'll see you all this Friday at the same time, 6 p.m. European Standard Time, summertime. And until then, have a nice day. Have a nice rest of the week. See you on Friday with the solutions. Take care. Bye.
Bye.